don't want to escape. I'm the madam here, and run this gaudy house. And you are my new sluts.
No, never!
Mildred struggled against her bonds, but the ropes were good, and the chair seemed to be nailed to the floor, almost as if it were built in place for just this purpose.
I will attend to you later.
Turning back to Christy, the woman reached out to cup the redhead's left breast and gently squeeze, savoring the delicious flesh. Christy recoiled from the contact, which only made the madam chuckle.
Don't like it, eh? Get used to it, bitch. We service both men and women here. A lot of fellas will ride your peach before the fuzz wears off, and I will earn a lot of golden blasters before I toss you to the drunken sailors on a ship to be their barrel girl. Know what that is, Red? Well, let me tell you.
Crawling over the naked woman, the madam whispered horrid and obscene things into Christie's ear.
Perverted freak.
Yes, maybe. But you can call me Sophie. And soon that mouth will be pleasuring me one way or another. And yours, too. Don't get many like you around here.
Sophie moved over to Mildred and grabbed her by the hair, then pulled her head back.
Fight, yes, that's good. Struggle all you want.
Sophie licked the bound woman along her cheek. Then, stepping back, she brutally slapped her face.
I'll get you for that, whore!
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you will.
Sophie's nails raked down Mildred's spine, leaving bloody furrows. Unable to help her friend, Christy thrashed about in the bed, frantic to get loose. Slamming back and forth in the chair, Mildred tried to avoid her tormentor's touch. Finally, the madam walked away, and tiny droplets of blood trickled down Mildred's back to mix with the fluid on the dirty floor.
Now the fun begins.
Sophie started fumbling in the closet to extract a set of long leather whips.
Now, which slut to tame first? Red, Shorty? Both look so nice. Oh, I cannot wait to hear your screams for mercy.
Eat shit, bitch!
Sophie contorted her features into a hideous scowl and strode toward the helpless physician.
Get ready, my pretty.
No!
Unexpectedly, Mildred's hands came free from the broken chair arm, which she'd been working on all this time.
What?
The torturer stepped back, and Mildred expertly swung her arm about to drive the splintery end of a dowel directly into the woman's kidney. Sophie fell to the floor, blood gushing from the wound. Snarling in anger, Mildred leaned over and beat the mutie on the temple with the solid chair arm.
Told ya I'd get you, bitch.
Throwing away the makeshift club, Mildred went to work on the rest of the knots. When the last rope yielded, the doctor rose from the chair and shuffled over to Christy. At the bedside table, the physician poured some water on her hands from a ceramic mug to clean away the filth, then smashed the jug and used the sharp shards to cut her friend loose.
How?
Oh, I pissed on the plastic rope to make it slippery. Got one hand free while she was amusing herself, then broke off the arm of the chair when she was digging through the closet. Come on, let's find our stuff.
And where the others are.
Christy walked to the closet where the madam had stored her whips. Inside hung a collection of sexual devices, the likes of which Christy could only guess about. It also held their clothes and knives, but not their backpacks or blasters. Dressing quickly, they searched the bedroom and found a stash of flintlocks and pouches of black powder in a bottom drawer of the mahogany armoire.
Have to make do.
Mildred hefted the muzzle loader and checked the spring that drove the flint onto the flash pan.
Damnation, this piece of crap's going to misfire half the time. The flint's as blunt as a baron's wit.
New flints.
Christy brought over a cardboard box of the sharpened stones. The women easily repaired the blasters and armed themselves with as many as they could comfortably carry. Two in their belts, one in each boot, and one at the small of their backs. Fully armed, they listened at the door, and heard only the sounds of muttering voices and soft cries of pleasure. Going to the window, they looked at the ville below. Winding cobblestone streets, red tile roofs, and swimming pools, now used to store drinking water.
This was a resort hotel once. I know the chain.
Appears to be a pirate base now.
Maybe their main base.
Could be. But if it is, then Ryan and the others will be with the Baron, I'm sure.
There. That fancy place on the hill. It's got to be the Baron's mansion.
Quiet.
Mildred tried to hear what had caught Christie's attention, but could only discern some faint cheering. Glancing around, the crowd noises seemed to be coming from a crumbling sports arena with raised bleachers and a grandstand.
Is it Ryan?
No, it's Jack. I can faintly hear something about the albino Outlander going up against Big Mike.
Looking down, Mildred saw the ground was only two stories below. An easy climb, even as sore as the women were. She ached in places that had never ached before, and her back felt stiff from the drying blood of those scratches. She only hoped the abrasions didn't go septic. Her medkit wasn't in the room.
We've got to try to help him.
She closed the shutters. Going to a side window, Mildred found that one overlooked an alleyway.
Perfect.
Better hide our trail first, Mildred.
Going back inside, the physician saw the madam try to rise from the crimson-stained floor and then collapse back down, the floorboards shaking from the impact.
Might get some folks checking on her soon.
Get that jug of shine.
Mildred took the armoire and shoved it in front of the door. The cabinet wasn't that heavy, but it should buy them some time. Already, Christy was pouring the shine on the floor and walls. Mildred yanked the dirty sheets off the bed and ripped them into long strips, which she then knotted into a crude rope. Meanwhile, Christy poured all the excess black powder on the floor and removed the corks from the unused shine bottles and placed them carefully on top of the loose powder. Tying one end of the rope to a bedpost, Mildred tossed the other end out the window and started climbing down into the alley. Close behind her, Christy placed a closed bottle of shine on the window ledge and shimmied down next. Reaching the ground, she lit the rope with her butane lighter. It promptly caught, the flames licking up the rope to reach the sealed bottle of homebrew. After only a few moments, it burst apart, sending pieces of glass and burning shine everywhere. There was a brief pause before there was a whoosh, and blue flames began to lick out the open window.
Good enough.
Moving quickly, the women darted down the alleyway, trying to keep out of sight as they headed for the arena. But turning a corner, Christy and Mildred found themselves facing a squad of sec men lounging against a wall and smoking hand-rolled green cigars.
And who the fuck are you two strangers?
Only a few blocks away, the line of chained slaves moved through a short, dark tunnel toward death, step by grueling step. For Jack, his throbbing, sprained ankle was worse than ever, since the pirates had removed the bandage to see if it was hiding a weapon. The curved walls of the concrete passageway were battered and in disrepair, water stains edged with black mildew and greenish-blue molds with tiny yellow flowers. One of the slaves before him plucked a flower and sniffed its delicate perfume.
Poor bastard.
If he survived these contests, or whatever they were heading for, he'd be sorry he touched that flower. It was wart rot, nasty stuff Jack had encountered in the bayou. The mold consumed human flesh, invading your entire body until the victim fell to the ground and burst apart, a loose flap of crumbling skin jammed full of greenish-blue mold. As the line shuffled past a particularly dense patch, Jack held his breath, then breathed through his shirt.
Next!
The line of old men, blind teenagers, and crippled children surged forward once more. One of the first things Jack noticed was that there were no women in the group. But then, old, blind, or cripple, the pirates still had a use for any woman. Chained at the neck and ankles, hands tied, there was little the albino teenager could do about escaping until it was his turn at the head of the line. His blaster and knives were gone, and while he had something in his boot, it would take forever to get it out with tied hands. That old trick of the traitor would be of no use to him this day. He wondered if it'd be single combat with an armed opponent, or a simple execution. He heard no blaster fire, so the entertainment was most likely not a firing squad. At the sounds of cheering, the line moved again. Stepping forward, Jack moved from the shadows into sunlight. Blinking against the brightness, he could see it was high noon, and the pre-dark arena was mostly in ruins, whole sections reduced to piles of broken concrete and twisted steel. Slave teams were working in the rubble, effecting slow repairs. But the rest of the place was packed with hundreds of people spread across the levels, seated at tables, waving bottles of shine, eating snacks, drunkenly cheering, and making bets with the local Jack. A lot of folks in better clothes were spooning a purple powder to their faces, and Jack recognized it, even at this distance, as jolt. An old word that Doc used occasionally came unbidden to his mind. Decadent.
Feeb druggies.
Ever since his wife and kid had passed away, Jack had prepared himself for the day when he also would go into the great blackness. Christy talked about the spirit of the world, Mildred of the